You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. This is Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, who is Kamari Lassiter? We've talked about him a lot. Let's hear from the man himself. This is the best from his first media availability with the H-Town media types. Why did he always want to be in Houston? What does he bring to the table, and what does he like about D'Amico Ryans? Here is your newest cornerback.
I've been saying for a long time, I was like, man, I really want to go to Houston. And I was just, you know, saying it, you know, very slightly, knowing that, you know, it was going to come true. And I got the call earlier. You know, you dream about having that call your whole life. All my family here, and just seeing everybody just be so happy. It's something that, you know, I'll never forget. You know, that's a young team, and, you know, I feel like, you know, that's somewhere where I would really enjoy playing. You know how you always, you know, watch football, and you think teams where you feel like you would be able to fit in and you think that you would enjoy playing at. I feel like Houston is one of those places.
I feel like, you know, playing in the SEC is like a direct pipeline to, you know, playing in the league. You know, you play some of the best players in the country. You know, you play in the best conference and you play the best football. And, you know, I was blessed to be able to play that for the last 3 years. And it really helped me become a better man and a better football player. My rookie season, you know, I just feel like I want to come in and I just really want to earn respect from my teammates and my coaches. CJ Stroud gave us hell in the Peach Bowl. I don't remember him. I don't remember too many passes hitting the ground. And that was one of the few games that we really just didn't really have a true answer for the quarterback. So that's one thing that I vividly remember.
Staff is bringing a lot of the guys who have the same mindset. Guys who really want to be successful, we're willing to do, we're willing to eat off the floor.
You know what's funny is if this same thing happened and it wasn't Lassiter, it was Kool-Aid. He said the same things, did all the same things, drafted in the same spot. We'd all be going nuts about his possibilities as a starter. But because it wasn't a guy that was really talked about coming to the Texans, we're all just like, well, we'll see. We'll see. No. Like, he's going to be able to make some noise. The speed, flat out, is a little bit of a red flag for me. But if this was just not Lassiter, if it was Kool-Aid saying the exact same things, we'd be going nuts. Because he was the popular name, popular pick.
Do you think if Kool-Aid's name was John, do you think there would be as much excitement?
No. No.
If it was just John McKinstry out of Alabama, you think there'd be as much? Because I like him. I like him. But I will say, the name Kool-Aid does add a little bit to it.
But it's not just the name. It's like the fact that he was talked about the most as one that Texans
fans
wanted.
Well, he also fits what they have.
Fits what they have. Alabama, all that stuff. But, like, he was just taken right in front of Lassiter. If the two things were switched and it was Lassiter taking then and Kool-Aid here, we'd be talking about a potential starter opposite Derek Stingley.
Isn't it kind of crazy to hear guys, and you really believe him, wanted to be here? Like, I wanted to be in Houston.
It is crazy.
This is where I wanted to go. D'Amico, mm-hmm. Factor, the city, all that. CJ, it's kind of a cool spot. And also, he has a lot of buddies on the team, so I'm sure he's heard some good things.
And the other thing he said that is very, very encouraging is, and accurate, young team, especially young defense, you know, at key spots.
As does Blake Fisher. He has a buddy on the team, Jared Patterson, actually took him under his wing when he was at Notre Dame. Blake Fisher, a tackle, right tackle, was recruited as a left tackle, was beat out by Alt, who was a top five pick in the draft. Blake Fisher, give me one word to describe your playing style, and let the people of Houston, all the loopholes and all the people on the YouTube and Twitch, know a little bit about you, too.
I would just say dominant. You know, CJ's a baller. You know, his mentality every time he hits the field is a winner's mentality. Great coaching staff. They love ball. You know, on top of loving ball, they just really love their players, you know, players, coaches, you know, really want their players to be successful and want to find all the ways that, you know, they can, you know, help their players be successful.
Been through a lot, man. You know, just, you know, ups and downs of college, you know, getting hurt freshman year, coming back. The opportunity to, you know, play at the highest level. But didn't know the interest was this high, but, you know, love this opportunity, especially being able to be, you know, back with, you know, one of my OGs from, you know, college, Jared Patterson, and, you know, then, you know, young and upgrowing team, you know, just being able to contribute, you know, just bring, you know, what I bring to the game, you know, to this program or to this organization. I talk to JP quite often, really, you know, especially going through this process, just making sure that, you know, I'm crossing my I's or dotting my I's, crossing my T's, on everything. And, you know, if I'm unaware about something, you know, just reaching out to him and, you know, asking him for confirmation and or, you know, just, you know, his thought on it, you know, going through the process. But I would definitely say, you know, JP is he's a great dude, great football player. You know, it's exciting to be back with him for sure. So within that blessing, there's going to be adversity, you know, that comes, you know, even without, you know, the last 2 days, whatever, it's been a day and a half. But, you know, I knew God had a plan and, man, God did.
All right. One of the most intriguing, he and Bullock, who we're about to hear from, to me, because of where they were taken and the possibilities for them to actually make some noise. We'll see. I mean, the contracts are big at that tackle position, but so is the investment in the with a second-round pick for Fisher.
Very, very wild that they drafted a tackle. A lot of possibilities, though. I saw someone on the text line or the YouTube. I think it was on the YouTube. Said Fisher's a pick you like in a year and you love in two, which I thought was very well said if we're looking at the most optimistic possibility. Kalen Bolick, USC, ball hawk, safety, freak athlete. How do you fit in here, my friend?
When I took the visit to Texas, it felt great. The whole coaching staff, they welcomed me with open arms. Everybody loved me, and I loved the coaching staff there too and everybody else who was on the staff, so I kind of knew I had a good feeling that it would be a chance that I would go there. It's great to have a coach like that, especially he relates to the players. Like you said, he was a former player also, so he knows what it takes. He knows what us players go through. So he's going to be able to relate to us. And I know he's a really awesome coach. So defense, it's a real young defense. They got some young pieces on the defense. I know the defense, they're going to play their heart out every single play. Everybody's on the defense. Seems really close. And I went to the facility. I got to meet some of the guys also and got to talk to them. And they'll just tell me, like, it's a real family up there. And I know that me going to this team, I know I'm going to be walking with open arms. And I'm going to hop on the train and get the rolling with the team, with the defense. And we're gonna go out here and make plays.
And he's pixie dust.
This guy's exciting, man.
He's pixie dust candidate number one.
This guy's exciting.
And probably the one that could stand to improve the most and will improve the most if I had to make a prediction, because that defense was a mess at USC. D'Amico's going to have it locked down here, as we know. And he's going to be able to go get the ball, something that the other two safeties here have not been able to do.
Yeah, and he's a freak. He's an athlete. How does he fit in? Maybe some juggling, too. You talk about pixie dust, maybe some juggling. You know, you look at Petrie, you look at Ward, assuming that Ward is back. How do you mix this kid in? Is he ready to physically withstand the three downs of being a safety? Who knows? Do you find him in situations? Who knows? It'll be interesting, though, but they seem really pumped about that one.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Then you have Cade Stover, one of Nick Caserio's favorites. Cade Stover, what do you bring to the table? Tell us about this quarterback that you're familiar with.
Nothing's ever gone like how it's supposed to on pen to paper in my life. I feel like I'm battle tested and I feel like I'm ready to go. I'm planning on just playing as long as I can. They're getting just a complete utility player. Basically, I'm going to do whatever you ask me to do at 100% everything I got every single time. And I'm going to be the exact glue in the locker room. I'm going to be a dude people can come to when things go wrong. And I'm just excited to help this team any way I can. Man, I love blocking. I do. I'm going to throw my face in the fire every chance I can get. It might not always be pretty, but I promise you, you're going to get every ounce of power I got. They're getting just a complete utility. Like I said earlier, I mean, I'm going to do anything possible to help this team win, and that's all I got.
He's going to be fun to watch, and I think he's going to have a real chance to get on the field. I mean, Brevin Jordan, yeah, you know, props to him.
Can't block.
Yeah, props to him. Tegan Quatoriano, props to him for making the team and being able to catch a few balls here and there. But I think this guy is going to be able to get on the field more.
I think Brevin Jordan's fighting to make the team again.
He could well be.
I mean, do they really need someone who does? I mean, when you add Stephon Diggs to the mix, do you really, I mean, a guy who has running back skill set, do you need it?
No.
Or is it more important to, when you face the Baltimore Ravens, you're not fighting an uphill battle because,
well,
man is struggling to block.
And you brought up this point earlier, and I agree. He's been in the backfield some too, Stover. He's kind of, yeah, you know, so he could threaten to take a roster spot from some other guys. Like
can Beck. Move around a little. Yeah. Jamal Hill out of Oregon, he's been playing linebacker for 1 year. Dan Lanning, with his linebacker background, decided to move him to linebacker last year at Oregon. He's got some experience covering tight ends. He can end up being a two-down, two-phase player. That's what I call him. Special teamer on fourth down, out there covering tight ends on third down. You know what? If he ends up being that, then that is a sixth-round pick, well worth it, especially if you watch this team try to cover tight ends last year. You need mm-hmm. that type of guy. You also got D'Amico Ryans in his second. He's going to be his second year playing the position. D'Amico Ryans kind of putting his hand on the shoulder and teaching him the way, really. Here's Jamal Hill, by the way, son of a drill sergeant. Here is Jamal Hill talking about what he brings to your Houston Texans.
Coach Lennon and Coach Todd Lupoy sold me the vision of me playing linebacker and just how the game is changing, how I can help my team and how I can help NFL teams in the future. Guy like Coach Lennon and Coach Toss that have been around some of the best linebackers that then came out the last 10 years, I just jumped at the opportunity. And I appreciate them for seeing a vision with me. My ability to cover tight ends, running backs, and like number threes in certain formations, those were kind of the main factors.
I fit wherever they want me to fit at. Like, I'll be the long snapper, the water boy, it don't matter. They drafted me to play linebacker. If that changes in the future, it is what it is. I'll do whatever they ask me to do on special. I know that's probably going to be my path these first couple of years. I'm not shying away from that. Like, I'm going to give them everything I got.
Super fast and good in coverage. He's going to have a leg up. He's going to have a leg up on a lot of guys back there.
Yeah, he's intriguing, man. I don't know how long it takes you to be able to do what he's asked to do, but I don't know. I mean, it's a lot, but it's not a lot. Use your athleticism, cover linebackers. I don't know if, I mean, I would think he would have a step up on Henry Toto when it comes to covering linebackers. Mm-hmm. So there's that. And then special teams and running and tackling is, I mean, that really doesn't change from being a safety and a linebacker. So I'm excited to see what this kid looks like. I'm sure D'Amico's excited to coach him. And that's one of those guys where you want to say develop, but when you're talking about two down, two phase.
Well, special teams is
how hard is it going to be?
Yeah, special teams is a given for him, I think. Draft pick, first year.
He said it.
He's going to be in the special teams. Where I think his benefit could come, really show itself, is in coverage. I mean, that's one of those things you got to have.
CBS has released some betting odds.
AFC South favorites. The Texans are even money when it comes to the AFC South. The Jags are plus 270, so nearly 3-1 there, which is actually a pretty good value. Colts are 3.3-1, which is really, really good value. Titans, 8-1. You might as well just throw money away if you're going to bet on them to win the division. But it's I don't want to say the Texans are overrated or anything like that, but that much of a gap does seem like a lot. And that's not to take away from what kind of football team the Texans can be. But when you're putting the other teams at 3.5 and 3-1 right behind them, I mean, you're basically saying, what, are they going to win the division by a couple games, three games? That's quite a margin right there.
Well, the fan in me, it looks at these odds and I say, cool. The gambler in me says, that's really good value with the Colts. No, I'm serious. Like if I were betting on this, I'd throw a little sprinkle on the Colts. That's not what I want, but that's really good value.
The Kansas City Chiefs, obviously the team that everyone's chasing, they just gave Travis Kelce a contract extension. 2-year contract extension, highest paid tight end in the NFL. Kind of crazy that he already wasn't, but average per year, he's now the top in the game, and he got a 2-year contract extension. My question is this: how long do you think this guy's going to be balling? His contract now goes through 2026 when he's going to be 37 years old. There was already talk in Kansas City. I remember you, Carrington Harrison, talking about it. Shout out to Carrington. Decline of Travis Kelce, and he was obviously able to flip the switch as the season went a little bit later in, and it was his time to shine, all-time leading receptions guy in the playoffs. 37 years old, though, all the extra activities that he's got going on, the wear and tear that it takes to play the tight end position. I mean, this isn't easy on the body, and he already has this. I mean, he's already dating Taylor Swift. He's got 16 trillion endorsements. Is Travis Kelce going to be an elite player, 36 and 37 years old? And he's going to be 35 this year.
Elite might be a bit of a reach. He's not the best tight end in the NFL right now already. But he's Travis Kelce, and he's nails in the postseason, and he's so key to what the Falcons do. I was glad to see it. I mean, I think that's something that's going to be able to – that's going to haunt this team in terms of cap and stuff, although they're still pretty good in the cap.
Yeah, they know
now
how to adjust.
Yeah, they're pretty good right now.
Yeah, they make it do gymnastics, and Patrick Mahomes will just always restructure. He's kind of doing his thing. It's just kind of one of those things where you get a guy and he's a bargain for a certain amount of years, and then you either have to make the tough decision to let him say goodbye to him, or then you have to pay him. And sometimes you're going from a bargain to maybe paying a guy for what he did instead of what he's going to do.
Yeah.
That's something the Texans don't have to worry about yet. They don't have any real established veterans that have proven themselves here. And right now, you have Will Anderson Jr. and C.J. Stroud, who are Pro Bowl caliber players. Derek Stingley, who's a Pro Bowl caliber player, and you're paying them rookie deals. Eventually, these are the decisions you're going to have to make. You see it all over the league. You see the teams that are tier above the Texans that are further along in their process. And these are the types of discussions that hopefully, if the Texans keep doing what they're going to do and they prove that it wasn't just a one-year thing and that they really have established a long-term culture, these are the tough decisions that D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio are going to have to make. And I wonder, as well as they seem to gel in this format and with drafts and stuff like that, I wonder how they're going to not necessarily collide, but how they're going to have these types of decisions, because I think these can be tougher decisions, especially when you're talking about coach versus GM, where a lot of times the GM can be more of the hard-o cutthroat guy, but the coach is the guy that might get more sentimental. Who knows, but that's going to be it's a long ways away. It's not too far away, but it is going to be interesting to see that's going to be the next phase of their relationship.
Yeah, you're going to have to do that cap gymnastics or whatever you want to call it. I call these lifetime achievement contracts. And if you're a fan of the team, you kind of cross your fingers and hope that he still has something left if you're a Chiefs fan. If you're a fan of potential rivals like the Texans, you love this because you're giving him a contract that is not going to be equitable to the performance that you're probably going to get out of it. So I love these lifetime achievement contracts.
We got a programming note. 7:30 a.m.
Saw that.
Tomorrow, Nick Caserio.
Nick Caserio, Texans GM, joining us on the show. Nick, you okay on time right now?
The 40-minute man. Be on these airwaves. Are we going to get Hardo Caserio or excited Caserio?
You know, the odds are, the trends, trending is Hardo, tough guy, whatever you want to call it.
What are we getting?
I would ask him about grades. He has to know. Like, that's just what it is.
We're not going to really get into a lot of hypotheticals, a lot of speculation.
He said they
right?
grinded out a win. I don't want to hear him complain about grades. He said he grinded out a win.
Yeah, so yeah. He gave himself a good grade.
Don't look down on grades, buddy. You gave yourself a dub.
Yeah.
You didn't say we grinded out a game. You said he grinded out a win. Mm-hmm. Nick Caserio tomorrow, 7:30, right here on Sports Radio 610. Set your calendars. Go on YouTube, Twitch, or just listen on the Odyssey app. Coming up next, internet going nuts here on Sports Radio 610.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I got the internet going nuts.
Nick Caserio is going to be on Sports Radio 610 tomorrow, 7:30 a.m. Internet. Always
Nick Caserio, Texans GM, joining us on the show. Nick, you okay on time right
Nick
now?
Nick Caserio speaks. The 40-minute man will be on with Payne and Pendergast. Are we going to get Giddy Caserio or are we going to get Hardo Caserio? What's he going to have to say about the draft? Always some news nuggets whenever he joins Sean and Seth. So mark your calendars. 7:30 a.m. manana. Will we get the Hardo or will we get the Giddy one? Nick Caserio tomorrow, 7:30 a.m.
I got the internet going nuts.
Happy Joey Loperfido Day. That has got the Astros Twitter going nuts right now. Big time prospect. What do you have? 13 home runs in 25 games. Called up. Not going to play first base. He's going to have a first baseman's number. He's going to wear number 10, which was Yuli Gurriel's number. But he's going to be
disrespect.
He's going to be in the outfield, but that's not going to last. He's got to take over first base. Jose Abreu is beyond a net negative. But Loperfido. Now the one concern I have about him is he does strike out a lot, and obviously major league pitching is going to be much better than anything he's seen. But it is a big day for the Astros to at least get a little bit of help.
What are we getting here, though? I mean, last time I heard a prospect hyped up with the Astros, it was Spencer Arrighetti.
Yeah.
What are we getting here?
Well, it's a reflection of their system has not been anything close to what it once was. But he flat out has been hitting. The problem is he strikes out a lot, and Major League Pitching is going to get, expose that. So we'll see. But he's going to be better than Jose Abreu, I can tell you that right now.
I got the internet going nuts.
Have you ever have someone try to kind of throw support your way in a unintended way? They just make things worse during tough times. That's what happened with the LA Lakers yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
This is not a political show by any stretch of the imagination. Avoid it like the plague, quite honestly. But the mayor of Los Angeles, Mayor Karen Bass, after the Lakers lost yesterday, she completely set them up for an absolute roast. She tweeted out the following to support the beloved Los Angeles Lakers. Quote, tough season, but at least we won the in-season tournament. Proud of our team at Lakers, purple and yellow heart. You can imagine where that went.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
They got KD, but we got Jaden McDaniels. That's exactly what that tweet was.
That's actually the best thing that could have happened for those that hate the in-season tournament. Because it's like, really? That's what you're doing right now? That's where you're going? Okay.
I got the internet going nuts.
Charles Barkley did it again. Speaking of mayors, if I were the mayor or in charge of the Chamber of Commerce of Galveston, I'd frankly be thrilled. Barkley is giving Galveston more love, more attention, not love, than it's gotten in a long time.
Wait, Galveston, man.
Oh, what is that? Oh, you were there.
there. Oh. I had a great time. Oh. I said. First of all, hey, first of all, I had a great time in the local hangouts when we played there, when we were down there for training camp. You just can't go to the beach. I want to say that. Everybody was great to me in Galveston, but your beach was dirty as hell.
Did you rent a bike? Did you actually rent a bike and go?
No, I walked around. Hey, I remember that spot was awesome. I went to that spot pretty much every night, actually, but the beach was still dirty as hell. That ain't my fault.
Yeah, that's where.
Yeah, look at him.
That's where the Rockets
trained. No, Joseph, I remember y'all taking great care of me down in Galveston. I just couldn't go on the beach. I didn't have no steel-toe boots.
Gotta have those for a
Gotta
beach
have steel-toe boots if you're going on that beach in Galveston.
I mean, it's the best PR.
And that was a picture with him and someone in Galveston. And if y'all didn't know, that was him kind of describing that.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's good. Galveston's getting a lot of love right now.
Love?
Well, so to speak.
Yeah. I'd like the beach in Galveston. I don't have any problem with it.
It's the water. Like I said, we could do a whole podcast.
Still go
on
in the water on that.
The water is not any dirtier than anywhere else. It's the nutrients. It's so nutrient heavy because of all the shell and stuff in there.
I got the internet going nuts.
So Mike Tyson and Jake Paul, it's going to be a sanctioned fight. It's going to be 8 2-minute rounds. They'll wear 14-ounce gloves. Instead of 10-ounce glove, and this is going to be a sanctioned fight. I am very excited about this. The good news is it's going to be on Netflix, so I think most people will watch. It's not like it's a pay-per-view type of situation, but this is going to be a sanctioned fight. Do you think, Figgy Lopez, do you think someone gets knocked out?
Yes.
Do you think either one of these guys gets knocked out?
Yes.
Who?
Not Tyson. I think he's gonna land a shot at some point.
He is so old, though.
He is old, but he is fast and he is strong.
So is Paul.
Well, I know, Figgy.
Nah, I don't think nobody getting knocked out.
You think anyone gets knocked down?
Knocked down is what I'm saying.
Not down. I think so. I can see because it's been a minute for Tyson fighting in the ring like that. So I can see him stumbling or something like that. But I don't think it's gonna be nothing serious.
I think it's a win-win for both. I think they're both going to benefit from this. I think this is one of those things. Mike Tyson, he's probably bored. He's got a lot going on. Mm-hmm. He's not smoking because he said he wanted to be anxious, I think was the word that he said. And then Paul, this is legit. This is going to be fun. This is exciting. Between Ryan Garcia and this, boxing is at least intriguing for a number of different reasons.
Yeah. No, and I think... I think it's going to be an entertaining. It's going to be a hell of a sale. I guarantee you millions of people are going to buy it. That's for sure.
I got the internet going nuts.
So yesterday you were talking about 7 days of the NFL draft. While I wouldn't go that far, there's a case to be made for maybe four. I mean, maybe 4 days of it. NFL draft ratings came out for Thursday and Friday. Saturday, I believe, but I haven't seen those yet. And it was beyond embarrassing for every other sport, especially the NBA. Thursday, 11.6 million people. The best the NBA could do was a 3.2. Friday, when it's obviously, you know, later rounds, the draft pulled a 5.6.
Which was actually low for
lower
for
than
what
the last
day
2 years.
Has been.
Yeah, lower than the last 2 years.
Which Florio threw out there. It's like, man, like, yeah, it dropped a little bit. The quarterbacks got taken.
Yeah. But still higher than, and the NBA tried to counter it with three standalone games on different networks. Didn't matter. More than 2 million fans more were watching the second and third rounds of the draft than the NBA playoffs.
It's the Nuggets. It's the Nuggets title to lose, right? Is that where we're at?
Well, it looks like it now.
Yeah, I think they're going to take it off. Yeah,
looks like it now.
Yeah, it looks like Porzingis, too, for the Celtics. That didn't look too...
That didn't look good.
That didn't look good.
Mm-hmm.
He's playing good, too, man. I was happy for him.
Yeah.
Damn shame.
I got the internet going nuts.
Kendrick Lamar has the internet going nuts. He has responded to Drake. How long was it? 15 days? 16? I know DJ Academics was keeping up. But he has responded, depending who you ask... I at this point, it almost feels like he could fart into a mic and people would get excited. I feel like people are just enjoying this back and forth a little bit.
don't know about that, man. Kendrick got a lot of people that hate his music, that
really
criticize
his
albums.
They
on social media. A lot of them right now saying it's trash. So, Kendrick got a lot of fans, and Drake got a lot of, like, Stan fans, too.
Yeah.
So, I see a lot of his fire, and I see a lot of his garbage.
I just have a question. Is this legit, like, a legit?
I mean, I don't think they're, like,
It ain't street or nothing like that. It's just more hip-hop.
Just talking trash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it could. I mean, it could.
Yeah, you never know how they escalate. Yeah,
you never know how it goes. That's internet going nuts here on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up, Casario's going to speak tomorrow. Let's visit some of Casario's all-time favorites, the Casario Fab Five, including four guys who are still on the roster. That's next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Biggie, thank you.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, Nick Casario, he's going to meet with the morning guys tomorrow, 7:30. Be interesting to hear what he has to say about this draft. Also teased that he might be trying to acquire players. In the spirit of Nick Casario, joining two of his favorite guys in town, Sean Pendergast and Seth Payne. I just combined the two there. Who does he like more? He likes Sean more, let's be honest. Here are Nick Casario's five favorite players during his tenure as Texans GM, starting with number one, the Texan for life, Danny Amendola.
Just a quick note to Danny Amendola, just on his retirement. Had an immense effect on our program last year, even though he's only here 1 year. You can't say enough good things about him. I mean, what he's done, his toughness. I mean, there's 1,000 examples of that I had the good fortune of firsthand to seeing. But great career, great person, will always be a Houston Texan.
Right.
Always be a Houston Texans. Had for a cup life. Of coffee here, so why not?
For life. Got here, I think, right before week one of the David Culley era. Mm-hmm. And then bye-bye. Shout out to Danny Amendola. You always have a special place in the heart of Nick Casario. This one, I don't know. I don't know if he's telling us the truth. Now, I know that if you follow the Moolah, which is one of the top journalism lessons, then maybe this will lead you to believe that. But Titus Howard. Number two on the list. Here's Nick Casario talking about Titus Howard a couple of days ago.
I think Titus is definitely unique. I mean, I'd say, you know, Titus is a better tackle than he is an inside player. I mean, Titus is honestly one of the better tackles, you know, in the league.
One of the better tackles in the league. Okay, that's a bold claim by Nick Casario. Not sure that I've seen that, but I'm not going to pretend to be a in-the-trenches type of cat, but one of the better tackles, that's a hell of a compliment to Nick Casario.
Well, I mean, there's not a whole lot of evidence on that. But I think he's just trying to sell his purchase there, like because he signed him, so it's like when you come home and you bought something that maybe your wife is not crazy about. You try to sell. Well, this is why it was a good purchase. Let me tell you.
Now, could you win with 1,000 Titus Howards? I don't know. I would maybe Sean and Seth can ask Casario this tomorrow. But I do know that Nick Casario believes he can win with 1,000 of his third favorite player,
during his tenure, Jalen Petrie.
Yeah, Jalen's a good football player. He's made a lot of good plays. You know, there's always plays that we can improve and get better, but his energy, I'd say his playmaking ability, you know, the tackling has been a little bit up and down at times. You know, I think there's some growing pains that every player goes through, and, you know, I think sometimes everybody's kind of, you know, wants to nitpick and look for things. There's always things that players can do better. There's always things that we can improve. They can improve them on. I certainly can. Love his personality. Love his mindset. The way he prepares, his focus. We'll take Jalen Petrie in this building. We'll take 1,000 Jalen Petries on this football team any day of the week. There's no question about it.
Yeah, but until that last part, the 1,000 Jalen Petries, he wasn't really selling him. He's like, yeah, there's some things you need to do better. Yeah, this, yeah, that. But he definitely sold him at the end there.
Newcomer in the offseason, and the final two are new Houston Texans, one via free agency, one via the draft. The fourth favorite Nick Caserio player during his tenure, Danico Autry.
Danico, I mean, this guy's a badass. I mean, this guy's a junkyard dog. Like, if you go into a dark alley, like, you want this guy behind you. Like, this is a bad MF-er. I mean, I'm glad he's on our side, and, you know, we're excited about what potentially he could bring to our front.
Now, that's love. Now, that is an endorsement for him to go the whole he's a bad MF-er in there.
Next, bang. New face, teammate of C.J. Stroud. From Ohio, as is Nick Caserio. Nick Caserio is not from this area, right? It's a little different.
Nah, and that's like an hour and a half away.
Okay. So Nick Caserio is a little more city.
Cleveland. He's more Clevelander.
Okay. And then this is farmland?
Yeah. It's in between Cleveland and Columbus, like directly in the middle.
Okay. Cade Stover. By the way, I enjoyed Cade Stover's Zoom video because I couldn't tell. Like, he had that old school wood in the background. I don't know if he was at his parents' house or
like
what.
Paneling?
Just like the real brightish wood that looks kind of older. Mm-hmm. Kind of what you would imagine on a farm. And he was talking. Nick Caserio, though, he was asked about, you know, what he heard about Stover leading up to the process of calling his name and trading up to get him in the fourth round. This is the final Caserio love in the Fab Five.
Yeah, whatever it is, it's elite. This guy is as tough and hard-nosed a player that they had in the program. Just kind of going back to the question and D'Amico's answer about developing players, I'd say Cade's a good example of a player who has only played tight end for 2 years, so he's certainly not a finished product, but he has the mindset and the work ethic to improve. I mean, how he was raised. I mean, this guy is everything you want in a football player. And then more. I mean, he probably played hurt this year. I mean, I think he had an MCL or had an issue where, quite frankly, it would have limited some other players, but he just braced it up and he just kept playing football. So, I mean, I don't want to speak for D'Amico, but I think we feel the same way. This is probably one of our favorite, like, football players in the entire draft, regardless of position, because of his mentality, because of his mindset. And he still is developing as a player. I mean, 2 years ago, he was playing defensive end in the Rose Bowl against Utah. Now he's, you know, played tight end for 2 years, and here he is getting picked in the bottom of the fourth round. And his position is, you know, we think tight end. That's why we drafted him. So, but, I mean, blue collar as they come, and from a makeup, traits, toughness, mentality, I mean, this is an elite guy.
Man, that's some incredible praise right there. You just don't, I mean, he just doesn't do it. I mean, you just laid out some examples there, but nothing quite like that. I mean, that's pretty incredible.
It's a lot of love right there.
That's a lot of love
right there. The Caserio Five. What do you want to hear from Nick tomorrow with Sean and Seth?
You know, I thought Ocho Texto brought up a good point. Explain the whole speed, we're not drafting a track team question. I definitely want to hear, you know, what his thoughts were on that, because Lassiter is obviously such an important pick. And really, you know, just some of the moves that they might have, because, you know, Sean actually kind of teased that as well, some of the other moves that they might have coming up. What about you?
I just want to hear what he meant by, you know, some guys might not be here and some may.
Oh, like, yeah.
What are we going to do in this free agent market? What are we trying to do here? You say that Titus, I want him to get kind of pushed on this Fisher role thing.
Yes.
He's not going to tip his hand, but – you know, he basically sold him as a swing tackle. Mm-hmm. Is Fisher competing with Titus Howard for the right tackle spot? How much do you like that guy? He said he wasn't surprised by what went on in the draft. I find that kind of hard to believe.
Yeah.
We've heard him a little bit on Stephon Diggs. And I texted Sean a question. I really want to know this because I don't know how he even sells it. Like, there's a lot of things you can fake sell, but you can't convince me that Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans truly, truly have a value or appreciation for having multiple running backs that can make plays. When you go back to New England, Nick Caserio, they drafted Sonny Michel, and maybe you get to that point. Maybe you have to have a more full roster before you start approaching stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I just find it fascinating that either they are just confident that Damian Pierce is going to have like some sort of like comeback season, or they just don't really value multiple running backs that can make plays as much as they did in New England and as much as they do in San Francisco. Because don't tell me that you're bringing back Damian Pierce and Dare Ogunbowale and that's going to be enough.
No, that would be something that absolutely is going to be talked about, I'm sure. The value of the running back position in the draft, because the only thing I can make of it is that they do believe Damian Pierce is going to have a good you know, rebound year. You keep in mind, Damian Pierce, they had to pretty much blast him out of the starting role for a while there. They just kept sticking with him, so they clearly like him. But even at that, you got to bring in at least one other. And I know they got one in late, but still, that's a good question.
I mean, just tell me, like, who's on this team that you feel good enough about running? Maybe they'll figure out the running back thing, but I just don't. I'm very, very surprised that Nick Caserio is handling that. The Tank Dell, the Seminole Police reports of what went down with Tank Dell was fascinating, to say the least. Basically, he was right in between the two gunmen. You're going to hear the officer kind of give you a little bit of a scouting report of Tank Dell. And then you're just going to hear him kind of lay stuff out. Here was what it sounded like when the update was given, and we got the videos of what went down with Tank Dell.
Let me show where Tank Dell, Nathaniel Dell, is obviously a third-round 2023 draft pick, 69th overall from the Houston Texans, somebody who was a star athlete in the Daytona Beach area, known to a lot of people there. He is standing literally between the firearm altercation. The video shows that he's walking. His report, because he is a victim in this case, he has been injured as a result of this. His report was that he saw this, or actually he saw what was going on. He took his cell phone out, had the cell phone in his hand, but you can see the position that he's in. He's right in the middle of this firearm altercation. And again, we will continue to work with him as a victim in this particular case.
Yeah, so he is right in the middle of it.
It's just, speaking of incredible, just an incredible turn of events that he did not get hit worse. Literally in the crossfire. Like, literally.
And we still haven't heard exactly where, I guess, lower body?
Well, now I'm still confused. You know, they pointed out, and it was an official that
pointed out. I've seen multiple circles on it. Now, I guess he wasn't the guy that hopped up.
Yeah.
Or he was, or he wasn't. I don't know. I haven't been able to clearly gather that.
Yeah. No, I think it's definitely...
Because the video that's going around, it seems like he's out of the... He's out of the video.
Mm-hmm.
He started out in the middle, and then...
But then there was one, he's the one with the undershirt, and so that's the one that fell down. Either way, just somewhere in there, as the I guess it was a sheriff's deputy or whomever it was, sheriff, that explained that, just... You don't just like shake that off, you know, that's not something you just shake off, being in the middle of something like that.
No, I mean, it changes you in some way, shape or form. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know the Ocho Cinco thing. I think you take with a grain of salt, or maybe there's just a little bit more, to it, but it changes you for sure. I mean, he's a young man. He's learning a lot of stuff. I've never heard anything bad about the character of Tank Dell though, which is what kind of annoys me about the the whole way it's being discussed when we're talking about clips and company and all that type of stuff. I don't know. It just seems like there's a lot of desire to kind of like make like some sort of end all be all absolute statement about it. It's just a lot.
Well, and the football aspect of it, may well, you know, be addressed tomorrow with, or at least in a roundabout way, get some sort of response from Nick Seri tomorrow as well. You know, whether the because there is a football aspect to this that a lot of people are going to be interested in.
Yeah, they'll ask him about it.
Yeah.
And I don't know what Nick will say. Well, happy Thanksgiving. Maybe he'll give us a clear update on what's up with
him. I mean, even just when do you expect him? You know, when would you expect him from based on what you know?
Yeah, I got to think that might be the first or second question.
Yeah, keep in mind, like, rookie minicamp is in about 10 days, 11 days, and then OTAs are at the end of the month, right? Or the 1st of June, depending on the team. And I don't know if they've really officially announced it or not, but it's coming up like a month away.
I also want to know what uniform is Nick Caserio's favorite, man. I know he probably likes the traditional.
That'd be a great question.
Oh, he likes the traditional for sure. Just the traditional blue.
Has he even paid attention?
The opposite of what I like.
How much has he even paid attention to them? The new uniform.
I don't
uniform.
Think he liked them, man. He wore the old logo
yesterday.
I don't
think he noticed.
I mean, I guess it's not the old logo. They still have the same logo, but yeah. On the text line, I forgot Burkhead from the Caserios. I don't know that he loved Burkhead as much as he loved Danny Amendola or any of those guys. Brought him in.
They played Burkhead a lot.
Yeah, they played him, tanked him. But I kind of feel like Lovie Smith and David Culley liked him as much as Lovie Caserio did.
I think Lovie did, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of feel like that was some coach love as well. Ain't no doubt about that. We're going to talk to Clint Sterner, Ron Hughley in a sec. Again, programming reminder, Nick Caserio tomorrow at 7:30 a.m. Mark your calendars accordingly. There is trust with him. I do think if he would have had this draft with the exact same names 3 years ago, 2 years ago, I don't know that he's getting this much of a glowing review. But I do think, and I do think I heard Ron talk about it yesterday, there is kind of like a little bit of a trust that he has inherited to where that looks great. I'll put it this way. If Ron, me, you, Clint, Figgy, we did a mock draft, and before the draft, we put that out, and we said this is what we would love the Texans to get.
Mm-hmm.
We get roasted like a damn marshmallow at a campfire.
Yeah. I think it's just name recognition. I think it's as simple as, you know, all us gullible, you know, people that read mock drafts and players that this team likes or that team likes and maybe players that we like. None of us mentioned Lassiter. And because it was an unknown, if you just replace Kool-Aid with Lassiter or Lassiter with Kool-Aid, I think we're all saying, man, what a draft they had. What a draft they had.
The tackle would still confuse some people.
Tackle would still
confuse some people.
Yeah.
But even that was sold quickly, man. People bought it.
Mm-hmm.
People bought it. It's like those studies where you get the materialistic person and you basically just replace the Payless with like Dior or something like that, and you up the price tags and all of a sudden they like it. I think Nick's got that going right now. He's got that trust. He's got that thirst. I think it's kind of a hunger too, when it comes to the draft. We'll hear him at 7:30. Clint Sterner, Ron Hughley, they are in the building here on a Tuesday, gentlemen.
Fellas, how we doing?
Good to see you.
Terrific, man.
Good
how are you?
Lopez, you gonna milk this nose thing, ain't you?
Dude, buddy? I wish I didn't have to.
I mean, what's going
hear
on?
What
here?
Happened?
It didn't
he
look
had
like
to go band-aid again.
It got infected.
Oh, did it really?
Yeah, I had to cut it, and I had to get on antibiotics.
They cut it.
It started
out?
Getting real swollen and red. Yeah, they sliced it, and then they gave me some antibiotics.
Really?
Yeah, man, it's working on day 9.
Damn, Lopez.
I'm good. Like, that just is a reminder for me myself personally.
Don't go out there.
No, I mean, like, and Clint and Tyler know this. I have got to be better about like if that happened to me in that situation, like I'm riding this out a long, long way before I finally say, "All right, let me go in and see what's going on."
Okay, so
like Harold in the back of my head.
What did it? I was the same way. Like we had a picnic, just a regular old family picnic. Everybody was there, including my two grandkids, and I'm playing with my granddaughter, and my son comes up to me and says, "What the hell happened to you?" Because it started spreading and it was aching. It wasn't hurting. It was kind of aching. And he goes, "That looks gross. You need to go to the doctor." I said, "All right."
I mean, what'd they say? I guess
it got infected. So, you know, and because it's kind of close to your brain, you know, they want you to take the antibiotics right away.
That's just smart.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll tell you, I would have been a clean month.
Yeah.
Plus. I worked on.
Might have been a vegetable.
I worked on.
Yeah. I mean, that's it.
You're right.
Yeah,
how long did I work on this? I worked on.
I mean, you picked on Harold You swole him up at least three times. Probably he'd pick on him and he'd squeeze everything out.
I'd go on and YouTube, look up things, how to get rid of. Yeah. I had a dead tooth that I worked on.
Unbelievable.
I had my dental degree. I worked on,
How you working on it?
I was in a tough spot. I didn't have a.
Tell me what you were working on.
I didn't have a dental care.
But how did you do it?
Oh, man.
What'd you do?
I had a special knife. Because it would get sharp on me, and I would carve it down.
Oh, yeah. God, dog.
Until I finally had to get it.
Holy crap.
No, I was with you, man. I was like, okay, well, whatever. Just put a Band-Aid on it.
Dude, had a
that
year
is
without.
Savage.
But
right
then my
there.
Nose about started getting half. Wider and wider and redder
I can
and
see
redder.
It's dark red now. Yeah. Now I can see it after I've made an ass of myself.
No, no.
I think Courtney would have eventually forced me to, but I would have I would wait it out.
It's only your brain.
Yeah,
nothing to worry about.
Yeah, no big deal.
Hell, it might help.
You're smart.
That's
man.
What I. That's what
Damn,
I told my
man.
Kids. Hell, it might help me.
That's why you need. Where'd you go, Costa Rica?
Yeah.
Got some of that sand.
I got Costa some of that Costa Rican bacteria, baby. That'll do it.
Nick Caserio tomorrow 7:30 with Sean and Seth. We'll hear what he's got to say. I know Ron always loves hearing from Nick. You're listening to KILT AM KILT HD2. The Drive is live.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.